Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Frimley Baptist Church. My name is Stephen, and I am the youth worker here. This morning is an all-age service, so if you are here, congratulations. If you're watching on the stream, congratulations. You're in for a treat this morning, I hope. This morning, we have got the Masked Sinner, which is my take on the Masked Singer. We've put a lot of work into it, so I just hope it's going to be good. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to begin with the Masked Sinner. I'll pray and then I'll introduce it. So, Lord God, thank you so much that you are good. Thank you that whatever's gone on for us this week, you are holy and faithful, and we can worship you and praise your name. Lord, I pray for my friends, both in the building and on the stream, that we would meet with you here today. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. Amen. So, the Masked Sinner. Hands up if you've seen the Masked Singer on ITV. Yes, okay, fantastic. I was going to try and, you know, recreate the theme tune, but I'm going to be honest, none of you wanted that. Anybody know the theme tune? Just fancy singing it quickly? No. Who are you? Who's that behind the mask? No. The Masked Singer, for those who've never seen the concept, is a group of celebrities in big old masked costumes, and through the course of the series, they give clues about who they are, and the judging panel have to take guesses at who they think each of the masked singers are. Now, of course, I don't have any celebrity friends, sadly, I know. However, I do have the richest text on the planet to draw from, the Bible. So, around about the time of Easter, I have found four figures who needed Jesus in their life around about the time of Easter. And so we have Hot Dog, Banana, Monk, and Star here today on the screen to reveal to you who they are. Now what I'm going to do is we're going to play each clue package. After that, I'm going to come back to all of you, and I'm going to get you to try and guess who you think our masked sinner is. So, without further ado, I would like to introduce to you a good friend of mine, Hot Dog. I need to be frank with you. This hot dog's going to be hard to guess. You need the right weather to eat a hot dog outside, but this year, they're all the rage. In a race, you know that I'm not the first. I'm no rollover, but like my dad, you might say I've got a spring in my step. I'm running out of time to tell you more, but I've relished this chance to catch up with you. In this contest, there may be stars, but Hot Dog, I'm in my own Patmosphere. In hindsight, I just ran out of room to tell you more about Jesus. We've had our first clue package. Now the question is, does anybody know who Hot Dog might be? Me? It might be me inside the costume, but which Bible character might it be? Which Bible character might Hot Dog be? John thinks it's Paul. Okay, so Paul is our first guess. James or John? Okay, fantastic. We might be James or John. Any other guesses? Nebuchadnezzar. Now that is a fantastic guess. It could well be Nebuchadnezzar. So keep those guesses in your mind as we introduce to you our next friend, Banana. Now keep watching because there are clues all throughout here. Everything Banana says, everything Banana does, there might be clues hidden all throughout. So pay careful, close attention. So yeah, let's go for it. Banana.
I'm really, really, really looking forward to my time on The Masked Sinner. I can peel it in my bones. You're going to find this one hard to guess. Turns out that I am at my most appealing in the morning. Banana skin used to be used to treat some insect bites, but my master's skin was broken for the sting of death. I'm bananas about Jesus. But when my chips are down, I've been known to slip up. I'm well known for playing chicken, but I hope you can see past my flaws. The fruit of the spirit's not a banana, so I might as well hear it. I need to work on my self-control.
So, anybody bananas about their answer? Oh, a lot of you saying the same thing there. It could well be Peter, perhaps. Perhaps it could be Peter. Any other guesses?
The slippery snake
in the Garden of Eden. That's a very good guess, that one. Fantastic. So, we've got either Peter or the slippery snake. Which one could it be? So, our next character from the Bible is Monk. Now, you might recognize Monk's voice. He is also in another one of our costumes. However, bear in mind that people can have a very similar sounding voice and be different Bible characters entirely, obviously. So we're going to have Monk's clue package. And as before, pay careful attention to the clues. So here we go with Monk.
How tickled I am to be making your acquaintance here. I'm Monk. I really don't believe you're going to work out who I am. Like any fan of architecture, I love to acknowledge brilliant feats. My friends often catch on to things before I do, but that's okay. I get there in the end. In the monastery, we're all pretty similar. It's no wonder I'm called the twin. People keep telling me I've got a bald patch, but I won't believe it till I see it. Like any monk, I'm really devoted to Jesus, but I have a terrible sense of direction. Sometimes I just don't know the way.
Now, here's the big question. Do none of you know the answer? Sorry, that should be none of you know the answer? None, Monk? Oh, come on. Who do we think Monk is? Does anybody doubt that answer? Any alternatives? Caiaphas the high priest. Perhaps. I wonder. Okay, so we've only got two guesses there, Caiaphas or Thomas. Glad it's so easy to guess. This is why I don't work for ITV, ladies and gentlemen. So we have got one final character. Now, we have got Star for you.
I may not be the star of the show, but I'm here to steal your hearts. I gave an interstellar performance as a sinner, but you're going to have to rely on my shuttle hints to work out who I am. The chances, Star, you're never going to guess who I am. Other stars can help you chart a course, but there's only one thing about me you'll want to follow. In the end, I get my trophy, but don't be fooled, it's not a constellation prize. There was a star at the start of Christ's life, but I was there at the end. Remember me, because you're going to meet me in heaven.
Who do you think the star might be? Thief on the cross, maybe, okay. Any other guesses? Jesus, okay, maybe Jesus. Any other thoughts? Paul, maybe the Apostle Paul, okay. Mary Magdalene, maybe. Ooh, yeah, she was there at the end of Jesus' life, could be. Okay, so we've got a variety of guesses there. Now it is time to find out who is who. It's the moment you've waited for. So I think what we should do is have a little bit of a vote. Who do we think is our favourite masked sinner? So we've got Banana, Monk, Hot Dog and Star. We'll let you guys choose the order in which we reveal them. Now, they're going to reveal themselves and read a short Bible passage to do with their time at in the Easter story. Who would like to vote for Hot Dog first? Okay, a smattering. Banana. A smattering. Monk. A slightly bigger smattering. And how about Star? Oh, that's a bigger smattering. Okay, so a lot of you think you know who Star is, obviously. So shall we reveal Star first, please, John?
I'm Star, I'm Thief on the Cross.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing," and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Fantastic. So the thief on the cross, we had various clues there. So I may not be the star of the show, but I'm here to steal your hearts. I gave an interstellar performance as a sinner. You know, the only thing we really know the thief on the cross for is sinning and coming to Jesus at the end of the, at the end of his life. And then, I mean, I thought the my favourite little pun there was, "You're going to have to rely on my shuttle hints to work out who I am," but nobody laughed, so you know. The chance of star, you're never going to guess who I am, which is a little pun. Other stars can help you chart a course, but there's only one thing about me you'll want to Apollo. That was obviously, you know, we want to follow the fact that he gave his life to Jesus. In the end, I get my trophy, but don't be fooled, it's not a constellation prize. You know, missed out on a lot of time with you know, in the faith, and but actually the trophy of eternal salvation is nowhere near a constellation prize. There was a star at the start of Christ's life, but I was there at the end. And then it says, "Remember me," you know, calling back on his words on the cross, "because you're going to meet me in heaven." So that is the star. So, who do we think we probably know for certain next? I think we had the most people seemed a bit certain about Banana, didn't we? So what do we think? Should we reveal Banana next? Yeah. All right, go for it, John.
I'm the Banana, and I'm Peter. Matthew 26, verses 34, and then verses 69 to 74. "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." And then on to verse 69. "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also are with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. But he denied it before them all. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him, and said to the people there, This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know this man.' After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.' Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, 'I don't know this man.' Immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, 'Before the cock crows, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly."
So we have now discovered that Banana was in fact Peter. So Peter's clues. He said, "I'm really, really, really looking forward to my time in the Masked Sinner." Said it three times because he denied Jesus three times. Then he says, "It turns out that I can be at my most appealing in the morning." Now, this one was my favourite one because it was probably the most subtle. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said, "These men aren't drunk, it's only 9 in the morning." And then he went on to give a great appealing sermon. So he was at his most appealing in the morning. Banana skin is used by some to treat insect bites, but my master's skin was broken for the sting of death. That was probably my cheesiest pun. But obviously he was a disciple of Jesus, and that pinned him down as Jesus' disciple. "I'm bananas about Jesus, but when my chips are down, I've been known to slip up," denying Jesus. "I'm well known for playing chicken, but I hope you can see fast my flaws." That was the name of Cephas. And then, "The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana, so I might as well hear it. I need to work on my self-control." You know, for those of you who remember the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter did, in fact, chop off someone's ear. So that was Peter's clues. So the next, I think you were probably most certain on, is monk. Am I right in thinking? So shall we reveal monk next? Yeah, go for it.
"I'm the monk, and I am Thomas."
John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. "Now Thomas, who is also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where his nails were, and put my hand into his side. I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Fantastic. So that was indeed Thomas. Thomas, there we are. So this first clue is probably my favourite one because I was the most proud of writing it. I said, "How tickled I am to be making your acquaintance here. I'm Monk." Did anybody get that clue? No. Okay, so for those of you who have ever seen a routine by the late Ken Dodd, you will know that he had the Diddy Men. And another name for Thomas, Didymus. Absolutely awful, but I was the most proud of that one. I really don't believe you're going to work out who I am. A bit of doubt there. Now, do you know who Thomas is the patron saint of? Or what he's patron saint of? Architecture, believe it or not. So like any fan of architecture, I love to acknowledge brilliant feats. Then he said, "My friends often catch on to things before I do, but that's okay, I get there in the end." He did get there in the end. In the monastery, we all look pretty similar. It's no wonder I'm called the twin. Another name for Thomas was the twin. People keep telling me I've got a bald patch, but I won't believe it until I see it. You know, I have to believe it before I see it. I don't know if he had a bald patch in real life or not. The Bible doesn't tell us. And then, like any monk, I'm really devoted to Jesus, but I have a terrible sense of direction. Sometimes I just don't know the way, related to some words about him in the Bible. So then our final character to reveal is Hot Dog, isn't it? Yeah, Hot Dog. My memory went there. So let's reveal Hot Dog, shall we?
Hi, I'm Hot Dog, and I'm John. This is from John chapter 20, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And then we go later on in this very same chapter. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In the next chapter, it goes on to elaborate. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
Fantastic. So, John's clue package. I must admit, I had fun putting hot dog clues in here. This is the one I most enjoyed writing. I need to be frank with you. This hot dog's going to be hard to guess. You need the right weather to eat a hot dog outside, but this year they're all the Rage, Son of Thunder, Boanerges. In a race, you know that I'm not the worst. John raced to the tomb, and he records that he beat the other disciple he was with. It says, "I'm no rollover, but like my dad, you might say I've got a spring in my step." Now, John was the son of Zebedee, so magic roundabout fans, spring in my step. I'm running out of time to tell you more, another pun about running. In this contest, there may be stars, but hot dog, I'm in my own Patmosphere. John was, of course, exiled to Patmos. In hindsight, I just ran out of room to tell you more about Jesus. So he says at the end of that chapter, there's not enough space in all the books and all the world to tell you about Jesus. Those were John's clues. So I do apologise for all of my many horrendous puns. I just thought family service. I can't not do it, really, can I? I had the idea a few months ago, and yeah. So I hope you've enjoyed the Masked Sinner. But what I want to talk to you today about is actually that our need for Jesus and his willingness and ability to meet that need are powerful, powerful things. Thomas, John, and Peter, the thief on the cross, all of these men were different. Three disciples, one thief. Doubt, thief, denial, even ego. None had the same relationship with Christ as the other. And yet they all had a need for God. In this room and on our stream, none of us have the same relationship with God. We are all unique. Some of us in the room and on the stream will have had the perfect week. We've come to church proud that we've not succumbed to our usual temptations. Others will be sat there wondering how God could possibly love them. And you're resonating with Paul's words in 1 Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am the worst. And some, of course, we may find ourselves somewhere in the middle of those extremes. You're not quite Ned Flanders, but you're not the worst person in the world. You ate a lot of chocolate, but you've already asked God to forgive your Lenten lapse. Or maybe you gave up coffee for Lent, and you've learned that for some people, it's actually holier not to give up coffee for Lent. You know, you're kind of somewhere in between the two extremes. You're not the worst, you're not the best. You know, you're just kind of all right this week. But wherever we feel like we stand with Jesus right now, whatever's going on in our lives, we can turn to the Bible and receive the grace of God afresh. So let's have a look at some of these folk. Thomas needed to know the reality of God. And maybe you can relate to that this morning. I don't know if you've ever missed something and regretted it. But I suspect that through all of human history, one man regrets missing something more than any other. John 20:24 says, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Now, you know, until that moment, Thomas was just Thomas. You know, nobody goes, "All right, doubting Thomas." Until that moment, he just missed seeing Jesus in the flesh. And all of a sudden, he gains a nickname and spawns a phrase that we still use today, Doubting Thomas. And it's not even like it was a particularly unreasonable thing to doubt. You know, I'm not going to lie. If someone told me, "I've just seen the risen Lord," I'd say, great April Fool's prank, lads, chortle, chortle. You know, where's my Easter egg? You know, of course, wouldn't say that right then, would he? But, you know, he was being told that the friend he'd seen die and be buried was now alive. The other disciples had seen Jesus with their own eyes, and Thomas hadn't, and yet here he was, the subject of some of what I find Jesus' toughest words. He says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I find that so challenging, so, so challenging. And for some of you, you're sat here or you're watching the stream and you don't know what you believe right now. The last few years might have rocked you. You struggle to see God, and you struggle to believe that he could possibly have a plan for this world when things around the world, and sometimes even inside the church, are so often at odds with the ideal that we know can exist. And if that's you, then I believe that God has a reality. Messed that up. If that's you, I believe God has the reality of his reality at the heart of his heart for you this morning. Whether it's a case of praying with someone about your circumstance, or it's a case of spending time exploring the evidence for God yet again, I'd encourage you not to leave here this morning without speaking to someone you know and trust about your need. If you're watching at home, please do get in touch with somebody. You can email office@fbc.org.uk and you'll be guided to the right person. You know, we're always happy to help you. Grace was there for Thomas, and grace is there for you. Now, John had something of a quick temper, and I think he had something of an ego. And hands up, when I first became a Christian, this was probably me. I was saved from a non-Christian family in August 2011. And if I'm honest, I believed for a good 3 or 4 years that God had plans to use me in gigantic ways. I was going to be the next Billy Graham, believe it or not. You know, there was a time when I realized that I became a Christian about a month after John Stott passed away. And I thought, maybe God's just saved me at the time just to, you know, take over a holy man's mantle, all that kind of stuff. I had a bit of an ego, I really did. But I also had something of a quick temper, not in a major sinful way, but when it came to things like university pranks and shenanigans, I was usually on the receiving end and usually highly irritable. And I'm actually going to share one. I deleted it from my notes, but I've got time. So When I was in my first year at uni, I left my room one night and went to watch a film in another friend's room. And I came back and went to sleep and thought nothing of it. The next morning, I had a shower and I went to get dressed and I found I didn't have any of my underwear. I didn't know where they might be. So I found a single pair that I hadn't unpacked. It was right at the start of term. And I got dressed and I went running around the corridor. Who's got my underwear? Where is it all? You know, disgustingly angry and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And eventually I looked in the common room at uni and I discovered in a freezer someone had put them in pots and pans, filled the pans with water and frozen every single pair of my underwear. Now... Yes, yeah. This was 2014. It was right at the height of frozen fever. And when I put it on Facebook, a friend of mine, Tim, the worship leader at my old church, he was quite good at graphic design, still is. And he found the Disney fonts and he posted a picture that was the Frozen logo and it said, Fennec and Disney's Frozen Pants. And I'll be honest, I had many, many, many people singing Let It Go at me for years. Sometimes they still do. So, you know, I was justifiably angry about this prank. I still have it a little bit of a way. But, you know, John had justifiable... John was known for his often unjustified anger. Jesus gave him and his brother the nickname Boanerges, sons of thunder. Rage, anger, and imagine being so known for your anger that the Lord himself calls you the son of thunder. As much as I hate to admit it, when I see John asking Jesus to grant a place beside him in the kingdom, I see something of myself when I was a new believer. But when we look to the Easter story and the end of John's gospel, we see something that actually Mike Pilavarci points out in his wonderful book, Lifelines, which we've been going through with Edge. John made space to tell us just how loved he was and how fast of a runner he was. And then went on to tell us at the end of the gospel that if all the things Jesus had done were written down, there wouldn't be space in the whole earth to contain those books. Yeah, he's made space to tell us how good of a runner he is. Come on. You know, for me, something of my own ego, I feel like God has really dealt with that in the pandemic. He's helped me to see deeply the joy of church family. And to return to another Mike Pilavarci quote, the church is a family, not a business. Over the course of the last 2 years, I found myself convicted time and time again of the need to return to the basics, to the heart of worship, to love Jesus and love the people he's placed in front of me as well as I can. For me, that was a removal of a great deal of ego, the recognition and embrace of something I knew but hadn't digested, that the youth ministry here doesn't rise and fall on my own ability but on the grace and mercy of God alone. For you, I wonder what your John lesson is. Where are you tempted to place yourself first and not God? Grace was there for John. Grace is there for you. Peter denied Christ 3 times and suffered a great grief. Imagine being Peter in this situation in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was so jealous for Christ that he cut the ear off of Malchus. Before the cock crowed the next morning, however, fear, doubt, loneliness on a cold night, having been separated from the other disciple he was with, I don't know why he did it, but he denied Christ 3 times. What grief and pain that man must have been going through, knowing the denial that he had so willingly made for the friend and king he loved so deeply. Peter was a man broken by the pain of his situation, and maybe for you, that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you're hurting and grieving and in pain. Maybe you resonated with Paul's words that I spoke earlier and you feel like you're the chief of sinners this week. Maybe you need to feel God's restoration in your life. And again, I'd urge you, please, please find someone to pray with before you leave or email the church if you're watching at home and you know don't have anyone to talk to. Grace was there for Peter. Grace is there for you. Lee. We come to one of the figures of the Bible that we so often talk about, but really only appears a little. Christ welcoming the thief on the cross is simultaneously a moment of deep grace and deep sorrow, I think. The grace of knowing that this man was welcomed into the kingdom in his final moments. but sorrow at knowing he was a man who deserved his punishment and could have really benefited from having Jesus in his life sooner. And for some of you, this might be something that you resonate with deeply. Maybe you came to faith later in life and have deep regret over the way you lived before you knew him. But maybe you have a loved one who needs to know God, and you're praying for them and hoping they'll come to know Christ. For both of those situations, and for the millions of others that this speaks into, the grace of God was there for the thief on the cross, and the grace of God is there for you. It's an encouragement to keep praying, to pray unceasingly and unwaveringly for those we love and cherish. It's an encouragement that it's never too late to follow Christ. The thief on the cross barely had any time to process what was happening before he died. He didn't have time to do anything significant for Christ. And yet we will meet him and know him in eternity. The Bible tells us that we can see the reality of God and his grace. We can be transformed by God and his grace. We can be restored by God and his grace. And we can be forgiven by God and his grace. Just like these four characters that we've looked at this morning. Grace is available for you. It's not a fluffy, warm concept. It's life-altering, reality-changing. It's real, it's here, and God wants you to know it and not only experience it, but live it deeply. Wherever your life is right now, whatever you've been through, whatever you've done, nobody is beyond the reach or desire of God.